Well, this morning we have a special guest with us, Pastor Brian Rathbun. Your former pastor, Pastor Kevin Martin, knew Brian very well. And when I was in the district, it feels like light years ago, I also got to know this man. And this man loves Jesus. And he loves his people. And he loves his word. And so it's with great delight here, I'm going to read the scripture. We'll stand for the reading of God's word. If you are able to stand, let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to be all over Matthew 13, so buckle up, and the Holy Spirit will take us for a ride. Here we go. Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And Junior Church, you can be dismissed. Come on up, brother.
It is so good to be with you today. Greetings from the church I serve up in Greece, Lakeshore Community Church. I enjoy being there tremendously, great ministry, and yet I look forward with great anticipation. My time with you today, I always love being here. My time, for those of you who are new, my time goes back all the way to Bill Gent, founding pastor. Somebody knows Bill, yep. And then Ron Linton, and then Kevin Martin, and now Mark. And so again, great to be back and great to be with you. As I was getting ready for this message, I was going to do the message on the parable of the weeds in the wheat. And so we're going to touch on that for just a moment today. I was going to do that, but what happened was when I began to read the context that parable sat in, it became very clear to me, oh, wait a minute, I have to do the entire chapter. Because this is just one small part of what God has given us in this chapter about the kingdom of heaven. And that's what this chapter is about. It's important that we take a look, or at least have in our backgrounds, what Matthew had in mind as he was dealing with the kingdom of heaven here. So in the Gospel of Matthew, up to this point and even afterwards, what you'll find is that the kingdom of heaven is present, not present like here with us, although that's true, but it's here now. The kingdom came with Jesus. When the king arrived, the kingdom of heaven arrived, and the kingdom of heaven is near us, and it is present now, and will be present in a different form a little later, and will be forevermore. So the kingdom is present, it is future, The kingdom is spiritual. The kingdom of God in us is a spiritual reality and truth. But the kingdom of God is real nonetheless. As Christians, we have a great ability to believe that there is spiritual truth, and the Bible teaches us that truth. But then we pretend or we act like it's not real because it's not corporeal. In other words, it's not something real like this. But spiritual is real. In fact, spiritual, in some senses, is more real than anything you experience in this life you live now. Because the spiritual is enduring, and everything on this earth, including your body, is going to just die and pass away. So the spiritual is real, and Matthew has that concept, and all of those concepts that the spirit is, that the kingdom is now, it's later, and it's eternal, and that the kingdom now is spiritual but real, all of these play into what we're about to discuss in this text. Now, Jesus had been preaching, and he had been doing some amazing things. People hung on his every word, and the miracles he did were just stunning, and crowds were coming to him and being healed. But there was a group of people, the Jewish religious leaders who held authority and sway in that day. They didn't like Jesus. In fact, he did one miracle, and they were going to kill him. He walks into another synagogue of theirs, and there is a man there with a withered hand. And one of the reasons they didn't like Jesus is because he was doing miracles on the Sabbath day. They thought that was work and therefore breaking the laws that God had given them. And Jesus said, well, what's right to do on the Sabbath? To heal somebody and help them or to hurt them? And they wouldn't answer him. So he tells the man, reach out your hand, and the man reaches out his hand, and his hand, his withered hand, is healed. And they hated him all the more. And then they assigned to him, the reason he could do this was not because he was from God. The reason he could do this is because he was from Satan. That's why. And because he's from Satan, he could, I don't know, I guess, deal with Satan's works. And Jesus tells him, no, that's nonsense, whole long thing. And then a little later that day, he goes out, the crowds are huge, he sits on a boat, and he begins to speak to them in parables, which he does. And when he does, he's going to tell them five things, which we will look at, because we look at this parable, seven different parables, in Matthew 13, and we'll only be 70 or 80 minutes. Is that okay? I'll do it in less. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hit the high points. If you want more information, you can go home and get it today. But what we're going to talk about is this. Those who hear Jesus are blessed. Notice it talks about hearing, and the word hear, as used by Matthew, is hearing, seeing, but here's what he's after. Here's the concept. You ready? It's perceiving. They're hearing and seeing. The Jews were hearing and seeing, but they weren't perceiving. They weren't understanding. And that's what Jesus is after. But those who hear Jesus are blessed. Those who hear Jesus believe there's a judgment coming. That's why the kingdom of heaven is so important. And the reason we're talking about it today, because friends, I don't care how old you are, the kingdom of heaven and your understanding of that kingdom is the most consequential thing that you could ever understand in your life, and the impact will be throughout all eternity. This is the most consequential thing you will ever consider in your life. We're going to learn today about those who hear Jesus believe the kingdom starts very small but has a huge effect. The kingdom starts small. It'll seem inconsequential, but it will seem to have, it will eventually and quickly, honestly, have a huge effect. The kingdom of heaven is worth giving up everything in your life to obtain. It's that valuable. We'll see that in just a few minutes. It's worth giving up everything to obtain. And then we're going to see this. Those who hear Jesus believe that Jesus is the king of the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he's the crux. He's the pivot point. If you don't believe him, you will never understand, never perceive, never see, never hear. You will just not be able to live in, obtain, or have anything to do with the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus is the king, and when he came, the kingdom of heaven came with him. He is here now, and those who don't believe in him will have a big, big difficulty. So, those who hear Jesus are blessed. What has just happened is Jesus, when he gets on the boat, he told the parable that we just read of the four soils. There are seeds. The farmer is sowing seeds, and when Jesus interpreted this parable, the seed is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And those seeds fell along a path, and it didn't take root because the path was hard and the soil around it was hard. And so the birds would just pick up that seed, they would eat it, and the soil was indicative of a person's heart. So people with a hard heart would not be able to understand. And then he tells them that some of the soil fell on rocky soil, or some of the seed fell on rocky soil. And so that rocky soil, people received the gospel initially, and then when persecution or troubles came, it's like, okay, it's not worth this, and they bailed. And then some of the seed fell on thorns, soil with thorns in it, and it sprouted up, but it wouldn't bear any fruit. It wasn't fruitful. It was there, but it wasn't fruitful. And then the good soil, when the seed fell on the good soil, it sprouted, and it produced 30, 60, or 100-fold in terms of fruitfulness. So the good soil is fruitful. And that's where it was. And then the disciples asked Jesus a question. And this was the question they asked. Why do you speak to the crowd in parables? And this was the first parable that we're seeing. And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. For this people's heart has grown dull. The word dull there is an interesting word. And it's used in the book of Acts. The Greek word that's used here is used in the book of Acts. And what's interesting when you go to the book of Acts 28:24, it talks about people that are dull. And what's said about them is some of the people, when they heard Jesus, believed. But a lot of them, listen carefully now, a lot of them would not believe. That's a statement of will. I will not believe. Go ahead, do your miracles. Go ahead, speak your wisdom, Jesus. Go ahead, Jesus, say what you got to say. I will not believe. And then in Acts, Luke chooses to write the exact same Old Testament text that we're seeing right here. So in Luke, when he uses the word dull, it's standing for people who will not believe. And then he goes to the same text that we see here in Matthew, and he says this: they've grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. In other words, Jesus is saying, if they would just choose to perceive, if they would just choose to listen, if they would just choose, and they would turn, and they would see what everybody else is seeing and perceiving, that I am God in the flesh, which is why I can heal everyone, which is why I have the wisdom of the Scriptures. If they could see and they would turn, I would heal them. That's what he's saying here. But they won't listen. And so God turns to his disciples and he said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So what's being told to them is this: that soil in your heart matters. Is it the kind that's hard soil, or shallow soil, or the things of this life choke it out? Because if you can't perceive the things about the kingdom, you will never enter it. And if you don't listen to the king of this kingdom, Jesus, you will never perceive. You'll never get it. So, Matthew goes on, as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. That's the heart you want to have, friends. I will listen to Jesus, because it's from him that you can perceive the truth of the kingdom that he's teaching you. And you can begin to live that truth and believe that truth. And for those who will, the kingdom of God, or as Matthew puts it, the kingdom of heaven, is yours. So, those who hear Jesus are blessed. Two, those who hear Jesus believe that a judgment is coming. Now, I've taken this a bit out of order. What happens in the text, if when you go home and you read this, what you're going to see is Jesus talks about a judgment. He shares the parable. Then he shares two more parables: the parable of the mustard seed, which we're going to get to in a minute, and the parable of the yeast and the dough. We're going to get to that in a minute. And then he shares again about the judgment. It's coming. And then two more parables, one about the pearl of great value, one about a farmer finds a treasure in a field. We're going to get to those in just a minute. And then he shares another parable about the judgment. So three times in this short section, he's going to talk about the judgment that's coming. How many of you know when you see... three times in a short paragraph, something about any topic that Jesus or whoever is teaching, in this case it's Matthew writing it, he is emphasizing something. And he's emphasizing that there's a judgment coming, and the kingdom of heaven and what you believe about it is going to impact that judgment. That's what he's about to tell you. So those who hear Jesus believe judgment is coming. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. So in this parable, what Jesus had said is that a farmer went out, sowed seed in his field. Sometime, some night, somebody went out and sowed weeds in his field. And when everything sprouted and came up, everything looked fine, it looked good, but all of a sudden the wheat started to tassel. It started to produce the seeds, the grain that it was planted for, and the other weeds, what they did is they grew up, and it was, they didn't seed, they didn't tassel, they were just weeds. The owner's servants come to him and they said, "Master, didn't you sow good seed in your field?" And the master says, "Oh yeah, I sowed good seed. There's an enemy that's come." And so he sowed it, and the harvesters or the servants asked the master, "Well, do you want us to go out and pick the wheat out now?" And he says, "No, don't do it now. We're going to wait till the harvest, when the good seed has produced an abundance of wheat, and then we're going to go and we're going to harvest, and you're going to sort the weeds out, bundle them up and burn them, and then we're going to take the wheat and bring it into my barn." Jesus had told them that parable. And then he says this, "The one who sows good seed is the Son of Man." So in this parable, we know now, the one sowing the seeds, Son of Man, so we know it's good seed. The field is the world. It's not the church, it's the world out there. And the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. Sons and daughters, the people who believe, the people who have listened to Jesus, the people who are following him. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. In other words, the devil has a lot of weeds that are in this world. You know that to be true. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom. Notice that the kingdom is already present. They will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I think what that means, they're not synonyms, they're describing two different responses to the people who will be there and who have rejected Jesus. And one is weeping like in remorse. "I had the chance. I didn't take it. What a fool I was," weeping. And gnashing of teeth. "You unjust God, you hateful Jesus, why would you put me in this? I hated you then. I hate you now." That's the gnashing of teeth. That's what's going to be in hell. But catch this. Then the righteous, those who have heard and perceived about the kingdom of heaven, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Imagine that. You shining with all of the glory of God in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let them hear. Friends, there's a judgment coming. As if it was too important to miss, Jesus tells us another parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, the reason it is so important for you to have a handle on the kingdom of heaven and to listen to Jesus, who is the king of that kingdom, there is a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. And it's bilateral. It's one or the other. You will be in either a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if we're to believe the parable of the seeds, where three types of people, the ones whose hearts are hard soil, the ones whose hearts are rocky soil, the ones whose hearts are the soil filled with thorns, most, if we're to believe this, most people will be there where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the righteous, those who believe, those who listened, the disciples right in front of Jesus, you and me who have listened to Jesus through his word and through the disciples' words to us, to those people, friends, it doesn't get any better. Can you imagine shining in the glory of God in the presence of the Father? For those who believe, that's your future. Jesus goes on, and what he wants to do is he wants to tell us now there are a few things that will keep some people from believing. So those who hear Jesus will believe certain things. They'll believe that the kingdom starts very small but has a huge effect. A huge effect, a huge impact, a huge end. So he tells them this parable. Before he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." So I don't know if you've ever gone to AI, ChatGPT, whatever it is you go to, whichever search engine or whatever AI vehicle you use. Ask it to bring up the picture of a mustard seed. Because when you do, what you're going to find is, you see the little period at the end? See where it says branches up here? You see the little period at the end? A mustard seed is smaller than that. If you put it on your little finger, it just would be a little dot on your finger, just a little tiny dot. And yet when planted, that grows to be a bush, it's called a tree, 15 feet high. Now I'm 6 feet, so it's over two of me, right? Two and a half of me. And that would be in diameter. It's just this huge bush. And it grows to that size in about 10 months. Now, what Jesus is trying to say here, it's just one thing. You cannot believe the interpretations. You can go out and read all of them you want, right? But don't get fooled. There's only one thing Jesus is trying to say here. One, and that's this. The kingdom of heaven seems so inconsequential, so small, so tiny, so unimportant, so uneventful, so what? That's how the kingdom of heaven appears. And if you're one of those, and that's what you think, ouch. Because there's a judgment coming. That little mustard seed planted right there in a field will become a huge bush in a very short amount of time. And the birds of the air will come and they'll make nests there and they'll make their homes there. And it's just a significant plant. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. He tells them another parable here. Did I turn this off? Hang on. Yeah, it's the parable of the clicker, right? Whoop, whoop, whoop. Did I go by? Yes, I did. Yes. So he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour. By the way, That's about 60 pounds. Have you ever carried a 50-pound bag of flour? A 50-pound bag of flour, it just feels so heavy because you can't, like, get your hands around it, and you got to put it on your shoulders, and now you're off balance, and 50 pounds is a lot, but three measures would be about 60 pounds of flour. Now you add the water to it, so you've got the ball of dough. I don't know how much that would, you know, how much it would weigh now, but 60 pounds of flour with all the dough, I mean, picture it up here. It would be gigantic. It would be something about my size, a big wad of flour with water in it. And a woman took it, put the three measures of flour, and then put about, and again, ChatGPT helped me on this, a half pound, 1/2 pound of, it's called here, you know, it was leavened, right? 1/2 pound of yeast. Like, I mean, a half pound, that'd be like maybe about two of these. I don't know. Just, it's very light, but a half pound. And she kneads it through the entire 60 pounds of flour. Now, what's going to happen once that yeast touches water and starts doing what yeast does? What's it going to do? Well, how many loaves of bread is it going to make? Right? And how long is it going to take to, like, fill out? Not very long. All these things Jesus said to the crowd in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. This is exactly what Jesus is doing. And what he's saying, you know, the dough, the leaven in the dough, the yeast in the dough? A half pound of yeast compared to over 60 pounds of flour and water is so insignificant, isn't it? I mean, what would that do to dough? You would think nothing, but you know better because it's yeast, and as soon as it's in there, it just starts what yeast does, and it has a huge impact. Friends, the kingdom of heaven is like that. People will listen to the word about the kingdom of heaven. People will listen to the religious jargon, because that's what it is. It's religious, right? That's what they're going to do. And they'll look at it, and they'll see this little congregation here, and they'll think, little, mustard seed. Nothing. They'll see in your life, you know, yeah, nice person, but, you know, the kingdom of heaven, this Jesus stuff, not that. It seems so insignificant. But it isn't. The kingdom of heaven starts small and ends large with huge impact. That's what Jesus is telling us. Because if you get into that place where you think the kingdom of heaven is nothing, there's a judgment coming. Don't miss the kingdom of heaven. Don't miss what Jesus is saying about it. Don't miss the impact it's going to have on your life. Don't miss the impact it's going to have on this world. Don't miss the impact it's going to have for all eternity. Don't miss that. And if you're hearing from Jesus, you'll hear it, and you'll take it to heart, and you'll begin to bear the fruit that he wants you to bear. That's what you'll do. And you'll be with the righteous one day, shining before your Father in heaven. But don't just think the kingdom of God is inconsequential. It starts that way. But in your life and in this world, more and more and more it will have its impact. So the kingdom of heaven is also worth giving up everything to obtain. That's how important this is. Jesus goes on to tell them this. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven, second parable, is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now imagine that. You live this life, and we face this especially in the United States. You know, like being a part of a church, and like tithing, really? And like giving, and well, and like all the time you spend in that building and doing church stuff. Why, look at all the kids' soccer. That's important. You know, our kids are going to play soccer for a scholarship. By the way, that's a lie. I was in the college business for a while, right? That's a lie. 0.5% of high school soccer players will get a scholarship to play soccer. It's like 1, maybe 2%. Same with baseball, same with football, same with hockey. Just there's no money there for most parents. But kids' sports seem so important, don't they? Talk about taking over your life. I had a family like that in our church. Oh, they were so committed. They were so doing so well. Their marriage was good. They were solid. They were in a Bible study. And their kids came up and they started playing hockey, which is great because I used to play it. I thought that was wonderful. Wonderful. And then somebody asked them to put their kids in a travel league, right? So now they're playing hockey 9-10 months out of the year. They're going every weekend. They got practices during the week. Sundays, well, they became non-negotiable. And somebody kept telling these two parents, your kids are something special when it comes to hockey. And they had those scholarship dreams for them, right? Our kids are something special. Well, it wasn't. None of them played college hockey, and none of them got a scholarship. And the parents were taking one kid one direction and one kid another. And I mean, the marriage ended in divorce. They walked away from the church and all that God was doing with them. Their life is a disaster now, because of all of the things that seemed more important, that seemed more valuable. This is what Jesus meant when he said, people who sprout and the thorns choke out their life. And Jesus said the thorns are like all of the wealth and the, you know, the, I forget the word of wealth, the disillusionment or the discouragement or the deceit of wealth. Right? That overtakes them, and all the other things of life overtake them, and the kingdom of heaven is of less value. That's what happens to them. These two parables tell you one thing, friends. If you went out right now, and there was a field, and you went out, and there was a priceless treasure chest, I mean, billions of dollars worth of treasure in the field. Would you sell everything you had, your house, your car, all your valuables, all your keepsakes and memorabilia, all your family heirlooms? Would you sell all that to get it? Billions of dollars? I'm in. Right? We'll make new pictures. We'll do whatever. Or how about this one? You go out there and there's a pearl in the field. What on earth is a pearl doing in the field? Or, you know, it's not in the field. The treasure was in the field. The pearl's somewhere, I don't know, it was bizarre. It's a garage sale in Judea or Jerusalem. Somebody's selling, they got a huge pearl. They don't know what it's worth. Would you sell everything for it? For the kingdom of heaven? Because that's what it's talking about here. The parable is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. Let me ask you just a few questions as to what might choke out your desire to know what Jesus is talking about in the kingdom of heaven and to make a commitment to that kingdom of heaven. Like, would you leave your job for the kingdom of heaven if you had to? I mean, somehow you've got to eat, right? But if it came down to job, kingdom of heaven, what would you do? Because some people across this world are making that decision right now. They're in gospel-unfriendly countries, and they're making that decision. How about your family? If it came down to family for the kingdom of heaven, I mean, I'll just share with you, for me, I mean, there's two people, actually there's five people in this world, and they own me. They're called grandchildren. They own me. They do. They can get me to do anything. I'll do anything for them. Grandpa, can we go get ice cream? Yep, get in the car. I don't care. My wife says, it's so expensive now. It's like, honey, this is why I'm working, right? This is what I do. This is what we're going to, they're still young, right? And they haven't got boyfriends and girlfriends yet. And so grandpa and grandma are trying to tell them that grandpa and grandma are more valuable to them than boyfriends and girlfriends. That's what we're trying to tell them. So we do that over ice cream. That's why I take them out. I'm just kidding about that, but more important than the kingdom of heaven? What is it you value more than the kingdom of heaven? Is it anything? Could it be that boyfriend or girlfriend? I've walked through that with a few people in that dating scene, that single scene. Real story, I'll just share it with you. I know it's getting late, but so we had a gal, alcoholic, came to Jesus, kicked the alcohol habit, was walking very, very faithfully and growing, and had had a couple of years away from the alcohol. She was early 40s. Her dream was to be married and have children. And so she started dating this guy at a church that was a Christian, but he would have been a horrible husband. He horrible. Anger issues. I'm sorry. And I started warning her about that, and I started warning him about it and what it would be in a marriage if he didn't get his anger issues under control, right? And eventually they broke up, but that broke her heart because he would fit the bill of husband and provide a child. When that didn't work, she started dating this other guy, and it's like, oh no, this is even worse. First of all, he's not a kingdom person. He doesn't love Jesus. He doesn't listen. He doesn't do anything. And I didn't know all that much about him, but I could see the little I could see. It's like, no, no, no. And one of the people who loved her dearly sat down and talked with her about that, and she got furious and walked out on the church, walked out on all her relationships, walked out on everything. And this guy, she's engaged. Oh, and the Facebook pictures were so happy. Yes, this is it. Except he was nothing but a street thug. And now he's in prison. And it's not his first time in prison. I didn't know that, but not his first time. And he's there. And now she's alone again. And her dream of marriage and her dream of children and walked away from the kingdom of heaven and everyone and everything that could help her. And she's on that alcohol binge again, and the police are constantly at her home, and she has destroyed her life all over again. She walked away from the kingdom of God because there was something in her life more important than Jesus and the kingdom and trusting him. And it's nothing but a bad, bad road right now for her. I feel so badly for her. She's such a dear, sweet gal. Anyway, friends, kingdom of heaven, it's worth giving up everything to enter and be part of, because there's a judgment coming. And it's either weeping and gnashing of teeth, or it's shining like the sun in the kingdom of your Father in heaven. Those who hear Jesus believe Jesus is the King of heaven. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, Nazareth, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished. Where did this man get this wisdom? And how is he doing all these mighty works? So Jesus is doing things only God can do, and he's speaking a wisdom that only God could speak. And they're wondering, and they're seeing it, and they understand it. It's right in front of their eyes. It is. Where did he get this? Well, what's the answer? This is God himself in the flesh, just like promised in the whole Old Testament. That's what Jesus has been saying, and he's doing the things only God could do. That's what he's doing. And they're wondering, where did he get this wisdom and these mighty works? Now, you would think they could consider it, they could come to a logical conclusion, they could believe and be part of the kingdom. But remember, these are the people that Jesus is saying would not believe. These are the ones that are dull. Seeing, they can't see. Hearing, they can't hear. So what happens? They ask this, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And catch this next phrase. And they took offense at him. They're offended that this hometown boy has more wisdom and more miracle power and more than us, and they took offense at him. This last parable, or this is not a parable, this is a narrative. This last section of Matthew 19 is the living illustration of all the parables Jesus just gave us. This is it, right here. This is what they were doing. Oh, not Jesus. Not for me. That's what they were saying. And Jesus did not do many works there because of their unbelief. So, friends, it's time for you now to take a look at this. It's time for you to consider. Are you going to be like those people that would not believe? Or the people who just kind of shallow root, but at the first sign of persecution, you're out? Or are you going to get enamored with the deceit of wealth and all of the things of this world and refuse to listen? Is that you? Because there's a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. The result is either weeping and gnashing of teeth, or the result is shining like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Those are the choices. Those are the ends. And it will all come down to this. Will you listen to Jesus the King as he describes the kingdom of heaven. Will you believe him in the face of persecution and difficulty and wealth, which we have in this country? Are those things going to distract you, or are you going to listen to him and enter the kingdom now? Because for those who enter the kingdom now and aren't distracted by any of the things of this world, yours is the kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Would you just close your eyes with me? Heavenly Father, there are kingdom souls right here. I know it. Thank you. Bless them. Open the word of God to them. Open their hearts to your kingdom. Let nothing distract them, discourage them. Help them to know that you, Jesus, are the king of that kingdom. And that when you came and when you come into a heart, the kingdom of heaven, they have entered and the kingdom has entered them. Help them to know that, I pray. And to live for you each and every day. Lord, so much more I could pray. We'll leave it at that. Thank you that you sent your son. Thank you that he's telling us about that kingdom. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.
Wow, what a great word that we heard this morning. To be reminded here by Pastor Brian, filled with the Holy Spirit, just how priceless the kingdom is. How priceless Jesus is, who is the king of the kingdom. But also the sober reminder of what in our life are we holding on to that we think is more valuable. I know I can think of some things in my life that I've been finding more valuable than Jesus. And I'm sure you can as well. Originally, when I chose the benediction, it was out of Jude. But I really think that this is not usually your benediction word, but this is from our passage, Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Receive the blessing as we leave here. Well, if you're going to stay for the Q&A, we won't be leaving here just yet. But receive this as the Holy Spirit leads you. Lord, help us to be kingdom-minded people. Help us, Lord, not to be fooled by the enemy, by his demons, by the lusts of this world, by thinking, Lord, that this world is all there is and it's the kingdom that's insignificant. But Lord, no, it's that your kingdom is all that there is. And this world is not our home. Lord, help us to be like that man who found and covered up this treasure hidden in a field and then just goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. Lord, thank you that you did that for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who became sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God. Thank you that we're your treasure. And forgive us, Lord, for not holding you close to our hearts as our treasure. Help us, Lord, as we leave here to be kingdom-minded people, people who delight in you for your glory. And all God's people said, Amen.